Good evening. This evening, we're going to be talking about the Sabbath. And the reason for it is because there are Christians who are in the church who have this idea that the Christian Sabbath has been moved to Sunday. I don't know if you've ever heard that, but I have. And there's couple of problems with that idea. One, it's not true. We know that the Sabbath was to be held and by the Israelites. And even the beginnings of Christ's ministry, they were still under the old law. And so, yes, in keeping with the law of Moses, the Sabbath was important. And we know that the Sabbath would be held on a Saturday, not a Sunday. And we know that was a day that they were to rest, no labor. But we'll talk more about that later on. But I will say this. It is important that we do rest. It is important because our society today, it's fast-paced. Go, go, go. No time for reflection. No time for remembrance. No time for rest. It's so important. Our bodies need rest. Our minds need time to, I call it, dumb down. My mind goes on until I go to sleep. It races. I have thoughts. I have things that are going through 100 miles per hour. And so when we look at the Sabbath, we need to understand we are not commanded anywhere in the New Testament to uphold the Sabbath, to follow the Sabbath. But let's look at the Sabbath meaning real quick. When we look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, our main text that was just read, we know that this is part of the Ten Commandments, and we see throughout the Old Testament they were commanded by God to uphold the Sabbath day. A day of rest. They were to rest from labor. They were to work 6 days, labor for 6 days, and then on the seventh day they rested. But let's go back even before Exodus. Go into Genesis at the very beginning. In 6 days, God created the heavens, the earth, and all the things on the earth, and everything that's in the heavens, the stars, the light. We see all of it created in 6 days. But then on the seventh, we see God rested on the seventh day. Now, I point this out to people. Did God really, truly rest in the sense that we know of rest? Does God need sleep? Does he need the rest we need? No. But what he did do, as we see, once he got done creating, he always looked at it. And he said, "It is good." I think God took the seventh day to see and to look at his creation and say, it is perfect. It's a masterpiece. But we see God, it's still something's missing. He would start letting rain pour to help the vegetation grow. But then he also created man. Created Adam and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He put Adam in the garden to work it, to keep it. But he saw that Adam was missing something. A wife, a helper. So he creates Eve. He puts him to sleep, pulls a rib from him and forms Eve. And gives Eve to him as a wife, a helper in the garden. It is good. You know, I don't think the Sabbath was just a day of rest, but I think it was a day of remembrance, a day of reflection. You know, I try to reflect on my day at the end of every day. I try to take some quiet time, look at Scripture, and reflect to also be thankful and remember what God had done for me, even that day. I think it's so important because, once again, society is go, go, go. They don't take time to just take in the beauty of the world they live in. And if they do, they take time to be on their phones or TV, you know. There's nothing wrong with that. But it is so nice to get out in nature and just take in the beauty that God had created and to remember what he had done. But not only that, not only for remembering that, but for the Israelites here in Exodus to remember what God had done for them. You know, when you rest, it's a day to remember what God had done, delivering you from the bondage of Egypt, led his people out of Egypt, and freed them from the bondage of slavery, from slavery to the Egyptians. And so when we look at places like Genesis 2, 1 through 3, once again, he did rest on the seventh day, but I really think he admired his creation. Because we see over and over again him saying how good it is. Now jump to Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 23. Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 23. Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" But he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry? He and those with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priest, and also gave some to those who were with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." Now, everybody should remember when David, of course, he was on the run. He and his men had no food, they were starving, and David had no weapon. And we see he came across the house of God and the priest who was working. He would acquire the sword of Goliath, but he also would take the showbread. And that priest at that time showed compassion to David and his men and would give him that showbread to eat and feed his men and keep moving. And we know that that would cost the priest his life because Saul would come through and would take him out. But as we see here, Christ is confirming what David did wasn't wrong, and what the priest did wasn't wrong. And let me add this as well. This is on the Sabbath day. What were you not to do? Work. But the priest, was he working? But when we look at the Pharisees here, this has nothing to do with what his apostles were doing by plucking grain. No, they had it out against Christ. They wanted Christ gone. They wanted him dealt with. They were looking for every opportunity. But what the Pharisees did with the Sabbath, not only did they say it's a day of rest, but you were to do no work. They put on this tradition of you're not even to do anything small, even a small task on this day. Because we see going on down in the Mark there that, once again, if your sheep is stuck, are you not going to grab him? I even thought about this. And this illustration is from a movie, or not from a movie, but from a video, a podcast. Imagine if you are sitting by a lake and you're resting, you're relaxing. The young boy is drowning in the lake. Are you just going to sit by if there's a sign that says no swimming and let the boy drown? No, you're going to jump in there. You're going to save that boy. Once again, they're holding to this and they're holding people captive by saying, you can't even do the smallest of tasks. You are to do nothing on the Sabbath. It's not true. They're misinterpreting what it's all about. Once again, rest is important. And so we see here, once again, and he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man to rest, to have a day where they can rest and re-energize, refocus, and get ready for the work week ahead. But also to reflect, to remember, to take in what God has done for you and what God had created, to take in the beauty of all of this. I think it's so important that we take this time. You know, whether it's on a Sunday or Saturday, one of the 2 days, or maybe it's during the middle of the week. Maybe you're on vacation, right? It's good to rest. That's why we take vacations, to rest, to recoup, to be ready when we come back to do the work we need to. Once again, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. And we know here, therefore, the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath. Christ, who is God in the flesh, here took these Pharisees on head to head over this, saying what was true, calling them out for their misinterpretation. And so when we look at the Sabbath and the meaning of it, rest and reflection or remembrance, this is an important time. Now, do Christians, is their Sabbath on a Sunday? No. It's a bunch of nonsense. But going to my next point here, rest and reflect. Rest is good. Work is good. If you have to mow, if you choose to mow on a Sunday, so be it. You're not sinning. You're not breaking a law. Some people do. Some people save their mowing. Mine's on Mondays, mornings, before it gets too hot and I die while mowing. But not just that type of work. Visitations. A lot of people would wait until Saturdays, Sundays to go out and visit people. Whether it's family, whether it's brothers and sisters in Christ, it is a good time to go and visit. It's a good time to go and spend time with one another. I remember an episode of Andy Griffith, and they had this preacher guy, he was famous, coming to their little congregation there in Mayberry, and he preached on rest. Wasn't much of a sermon, didn't use a single text. But that day, Andy, Barney, and all of them are laying around. They're just taking in the day. They're taking in the beautiful weather on the front porch, going to make homemade ice cream. Well, they start getting in their minds, let's have a concert where we can have a concert under the stars. And so they get busy. They try to get uniforms together. They try to get the people together to practice, the band. Well, it doesn't work. Frustrations brew. They end right back up on the porch at the end. And here comes the preacher. He pulls over. He comes and talks to them. Gomer runs his mouth, and Andy shuts it before he could tell the preacher what they did. He's like, I'm glad to see you guys resting. I'm glad to see you guys taking in. Once again, rest is good. As we see in Mark chapter 6, starting in verse 30. Mark chapter 6, starting in verse 30. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. Here is Christ telling them, come to a deserted place and rest. Christ, who himself would rest. We see after the feeding, he would go off by himself to spend time with the Father, to take time to rest, but also to talk and be with the Father. Those are the best times. When you have quiet time, you can go off, study Scripture, spend time with the Father to rest, not physically, but spiritually. It's so important. And the apostles here, the disciples here, they needed that rest. Being sent out to preach, to do work, to help Christ in his ministry. Rest was important, even to Christ. We even see it one moment when they're out on a boat and storm rises and they're sinking and Christ is at the bottom of the boat sleeping. And one of them runs down there and says, do you not care that we're about to drown? Do you not care we're about to die? Christ gets up, walks up, calms the storm. Ye of little faith. Once again, rest was important. Especially as someone as popular as Christ, who was always on the go, was always teaching, performing signs, wonders, miracles. It would have been hard work. In Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 9. Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 9. There remains therefore rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. There remains, therefore, rest for the people of God. We cease from work. Once again, rest is so important. Our bodies, that's how God created our bodies. We needed that rest. Just like we need food, we need water. There was a guy I read an article about, I think he went 72 hours straight, maybe longer. I think he went months without sleeping. And he was talking about his experience that he started hallucinating and going crazy. He started going crazy. I think he was a magician. I think he's an illusionist. But he was talking about his experience. That's not good. That's not healthy to go without sleep, to go without rest. People can work themselves to death. It's happened. But once again, we can get caught up in too much rest to where we become lazy. We become gluttons. We'll talk about that Wednesday night. Doing no work is not good either. We are put on this earth, we are put in this life to work. It's what we need. We need it badly. In Colossians 3, starting in verse 23, "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. Whatever you do, do it heartily." We know that many times Christ and his apostles would deal with slaves, with masters. You know, slaves, obey your master, submit whether good or bad. Do the work, but not as for men, but as for the Lord. Do it heartily. Work hard to please God, not to please men. Once again, working for God, we know we have times when we need to do work for the Lord, but also to provide for families. Paul would preach, but Paul would also have a side job. He would be a tent maker. He would work to raise funds for himself. Once again, that's what we are called to do. We know husbands are to provide for their wives, their children, their family. Work is important. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting in verse 10. "For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busy bodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread." There were those in Thessalonica who were not working. And what did they turn into? Not only laziness, but also busy bodies, which is not a good thing. They got into people's business. They were walking disorderly. That's what happens when you don't keep busy doing what you have been told to do. It's so important. They were also waiting for the return of the Lord, so they decided, you know what, we're not going to work. We're going to sit and we're going to wait on Christ. It's not what you've been commanded to do. Paul would tell them, that's not what you're supposed to do. You need to work. Sitting here, once again, if they're not willing to work, neither shall they eat. Once again, we got to work. We got to make money. We got to bring in money to feed ourselves, to feed our families. That's important. Once again, rest is good and work is good. But how about reflection? How about remembrance? In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "Then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." How many times did Israel forget what God had done for them? There were plenty of times. We so often, we get busy with life that we forget about God. Let's be honest with ourselves. We forget. Is that a good thing? Absolutely not. God has done so many great things for us. He has done so much. The most important and the greatest thing he has ever done for us was send his only son down to die for us. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, are we just to remember what Christ did just on this day? No, every day we are to remember. We should be teaching our children as well to remember and to teach them what God had done for us and to teach them these things so that they will remember when they're older. I have seen so many and heard of so many parents not bringing their children to worship. And not just to worship, but inside the home, there's no Bible studies going on. They're not teaching their children. They're not raising their children in a godly home. And these children grow up and depart from the faith. Remembrance is important. You know, I know society's attention span has shrunk because of so many things. I mean, we stare at our phones too much. That can hurt us. We're stuck to and glued to those phones like crazy. But when was the last time did we keep our head and glue our head to Scripture, studying daily, growing and teaching? Once again, remembrance, reflection. But not just in Deuteronomy 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 12. For as women came from man, and even so, man also comes through woman, but all things are from God. You know, it's so easy to forget that the things we have, the materials we have, they come from God. He's the one that put them here. He's the one that has provided us with all things. He provided us with jobs. He provides us with the materialistic goods that we have today. He has helped and provided us our needs. Once again, do we remember? Do we reflect on that? Or are we too busy? Once again, Sabbath. We are not to uphold that Sabbath. But the idea of the Sabbath is a good thing to do. Once again, rest is important. So is work. We need rest. We need quiet time. We need time to also reflect and remember. God did that for man. He did that for them. He gave them this command to follow and obey because he understood creating us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows we need rest. He knows we need time, quiet time. Mr. Rogers, I don't know if any of you, well, I'm sure you do, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, right? I really liked his idea. He, in one episode, he sat for 30 minutes. Well, maybe not 30 minutes. I think it was like 5 or 10 minutes. And actually, I think it was just for a minute. I'm confused myself. But he took one whole minute, and he told the audience to be quiet. And he just sat there for a whole minute. One, to show the children how long a minute is. But also, he loved quiet time. He believed that every human being needed quiet time. I think that's so important. He's right. We need that time to reflect, to rest. Once again, the Sabbath isn't something we're not to follow, to obey, but the idea of it, I think, is a great thing to remember and to do. Whether it's on a Sunday, Saturday, or both, to take time and rest, to take time and reflect, to take time and remember what God has done for us and what God will continue to do for us. It's so important, brothers and sisters, that we remember, that we rest, but that we also do work. And not just physical labor for our jobs, but to do work for God. If you're not a Christian this evening, I pray and hope that you decide to give your life to Christ. Time is running out. And I will continue to say that until I'm blue in the face. Time is running out. If you really, truly want rest, true rest, the only place you're going to find it is in Christ. If you continue in this world, you will not have true peace. You will not have true rest. And that's just the truth. Christ calls all who are weary and heavy laden to come to him, and he will give them rest. It is only in Jesus Christ. And so this is how you do it. This is how you come to Christ. First, you must hear the word, Romans 10:17. You must believe that word, Mark 16:15-16. You must repent of your sins, Acts 3:19. Then you must confess your faith in Christ, Romans 10:9-10. But it doesn't stop there. You must be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38, Acts 22:15-16. But it doesn't stop there. You must remain faithful. That's where the work begins. That's where the journey begins. It will be hard, but know this. Rest, reflect, remember, and work. Those are the four things we are called to do. And also knowing you now have new brothers and sisters in Christ who are here to encourage you and to lift you up. But if you are a Christian and you've fallen back into the world, fallen back into sin, guess what? You're lost. You're separated from God. Now's the time to come forward and renew your walk with Christ. To renew your walk with Christ. So if you're here this evening, you need any assistance, come while we stand and while we sing.